Delighted to welcome you to the Tomorrow Learners Today stand. Partnership for School staff are available to answer your questions. And to kick off this morning, we're really pleased to welcome Martin Gumberg and John Edwards, who are going to talk to us about the BSF transformation journey and the steps they had to take to make it a success and to keep the vision central to the programme. So I'd like you to welcome Martin and John, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me? Yeah, I'm seeing nods. That's good. But my name's Martin Gumberg. I'm joined here with John Edwards. I'm employed by Solihull, Metropolitan Borough Council, and John is employed by RM. We're working in partnership on this Building Schools for the Future project. The format for this presentation is we're going to provide some resources that tell the story of what's going on in Solihull. They'll be available to you after the session. We're going to want to focus on particular aspects of what's been going on. I'm going to be looking at what's happened as far as the teachers and the pupils are concerned, and John will be talking about the partnership working and how that has all come together. As far as the slides are concerned, we will go through and dwell on some slides longer than others, but they'll all be available to you at the end of the session, when there'll be opportunities to ask and answer questions, either in public here or more discreetly afterwards. So the Solihull story is, we're there. It's started, the journey's begun, BSF is being delivered, ICT is being delivered already. It started in June in two special schools in Solihull, and this is the opening by the Minister, Jim Knight, the formal opening back in October. Very briefly, why Solihull? Because Solihull, when you list all the authorities by any measure of examination performance or deprivation indexes, Solihull doesn't appear at the same end as the other Wave 1, 2 and 3 authorities. Solihull is characterised by massive polarity between the north and the south, physically separated by Birmingham International Airport and the NEC. And just some figures to underpin that, the north of the authority, that represents about 25% of the population, is right at one end of the deprivation index and of GCSE performance. And the south of the borough is at the other end. One of the reasons BSF got started so swiftly in Solihull is that the council already had a set of objectives which closely matched the BSF objectives, in particular addressing inequality. Very briefly here, this is the sequence of events. We've gone through an extraordinarily active year. Just under 1 year ago, the contract was signed with RM, and here we are now with ICT up and running in a couple of BSF schools, and also, as we'll be talking about in a moment, in a non-BSF school that was able to buy into the contract that had been negotiated through the BSF process. We are now in the process of working with the builders plan the building for the schools that haven't yet been put up. That brings us now to the overview of what's actually happening in Solihull. There are six schools involved. Two of them have already been built, the two special schools, two of the three special schools. The three secondary schools, which are all large secondary schools, all over 1,000 kids, are due to be opened in the coming years. And we also have a school in the south of the authority who've bought into the BSF contract and have come in at a sort of a lighter version of BSF, which means some of the performance measures are slightly lighter and the payment mechanism is a little different. And that school has been up and running since September. The process started off with the vision from the authority, but also all the way through to pupil vision. This is a 13-year-old in the north of the borough, remember, a very deprived area. We also have pupil vision from one of the kids at one of the special schools, looking forward to a better play area and a nice swimming pool. Plans for the special schools turned into reality. You see the green roof there. There's grass on the roof. It's part of an ecologically sound construction scheme. And one thing I'd like to just dwell on here is it's all very well having all this wonderful building going on, well-funded ICT, but in the end, what's actually made it work? Standing on that, on the roof there in the middle, there are the two head teachers, Alison and Amanda, who provided terrifically skillful leadership that brought the best out of a very skillful staff. And one of the bits of feedback that I'm getting from people working on the project, both from RM at a curriculum level and from the authority at a curriculum level, is that what's making this work as much as anything else is the commitment and the skill and the expertise of the staff and their ability to embrace what is an extraordinarily challenging transition from an old school to a new school, which is enough to manage in itself, but also moving to new ICT systems to deliver the curriculum. Nice swimming pool the pupils got. And what you feel when you go into the schools now, and what the kids and the staff talk about, is that ICT is just there and it works. We've got to that fifth utility. One of the other points that's made that is highlighted in a special school context that the heads were particularly keen to emphasise is that in a special school, the challenges the kids face are often about getting the world around them to work for them. When things don't work, there's an assumption that the kids learn that it's because maybe they're not doing quite the right thing. Well, we've all experienced interacting with ICT, and when ICT doesn't work for us, that's not necessarily because we've done something wrong. It might be something that the ICT isn't delivering. And what has changed, and the big impact, and it's not sexy and it's not extraordinary, is simply having ICT that's reliable and ubiquitous has had a major impact on the kids in these two special schools. The teachers and the head teachers have been able to observe that in the few months that this has been running, the rate of progress has increased in exactly the same way as there some physical progress has been achieved simply by having a swimming pool on site. So they have availability of good resources that they can get to and use. And that's the beginning of the journey. I think that's the big lesson we're learning, that there's a lot of visionary stuff we've got to focus on for the future, but right now, getting started, the big bonus is having reliable, ubiquitous ICT. We can come back to this later in questions and answers. We've got some strategic areas that have been dealt with across the authority in partnership with RM, and there's transformation work that we're looking at. One of the challenges there is to take the schools before they move into their new buildings and ensure that we're engaging appropriately with the staff and the kids to try and prepare them for the transformation and also turn some of their visions into some local reality so they have some idea of what it actually means to try and achieve what they're after with ICT that they may have not yet experienced. So trying to get some of that experience to them sooner rather than later. Also, the BSF framework, so a school in the south of the authority was able to buy in to the managed service that RM provided, and they're up and running, started in September. And again, although they've got a lot of more ambitious objectives to achieve in the next few months and years, the key message, again, is having reliable, ubiquitous access to ICT, and that is having an impact. I don't think we can underestimate the power of that.
Good morning, everybody. Can everybody hear me? Still got nods, good. So I'm just going to dwell on a couple of points. So clearly my name's John Edwards, and I've been the big manager for RM on the Solihull BSF project, starting right at the beginning, and I'm still involved in the day-to-day capacity now, helping the delivery team. I guess this is no news to you, but BSF is a long-term relationship. And I think some of the things I'd like to pull out is, as I've described, as cultural fit. So in order for a relationship to sustain and keep going, and I think we have developed a pretty special relationship with Solihull in a very short period of time, there needs to be some common understanding and some shared values. And I'll return to that theme a bit later, but it's an important thing to note. I think the other feature with BSF, it is a different animal, and change is inevitable, especially from an ICT perspective. I guess, again, we're familiar with that, but within the educational context in the UK, there's an awful lot of change happening as well, and that relies on, is underpinned by technology and ICT. So the challenges that will happen over the lifetime of this 5 or 10 year project, ICT has to be able to cope with the changes that are coming down the road. Just to set the scene a little bit, and for those of you who are about to enter the process, from a supplier's perspective, one of the things that we really appreciated from Solihull was they set a very relaxed and good working environment for us, and it makes a big difference if you're committing a large part of your working life to a project to have it in a good environment. And Solihull did that very well. And it also had the benefit of we were able to get to a constructive dialogue and really understand the issues very early on. And that gives plenty of time then to consider different approaches and work up a bespoke and a unique solution for Solihull. They were very well prepared, had a very clear vision and well articulated, which helped us as well. But we recognised pretty early on that BSF was different and we had to change our stance and approach, and we've been doing that. And it is about providing a unique solution and service for each authority, and in fact for each school in reality. I'd just like to illustrate this, take one element, so the managed service. And managed services in BSF is sort of almost a compulsory element. There's a lot of nervousness in schools and authorities about it. So what we looked at was to try and pull together the main components of a managed service and work a way of sort of balancing those to the needs of the schools and the authority. And by way of illustration, I've put up two different services. So one service in Newham, which we've already been delivering, it's nothing to do with BSF. In fact, it's a laptops for years 5 and 6 across the whole authority, and it's authority-led. Solihull, on the other hand, is BSF, and it's very school-specific and school-centric. And so you end up with a different footprint, a different managed service configured to meet the different requirements of authorities. So it can be achieved, and it's something that we've been working on quite hard. Take questions on that at the end if there's more detail you'd like to know. Just some of the features.
Okay.
To the cultural fit that I talked about earlier, I think the importance of that is borne out in two ways. One of which is the authority wanted both parties, both sides of the partnership, to be aligned. And so there were a set of strategic objectives they wanted us to sign up to, so not necessarily ICT related. And because we were comfortable that we shared the values and the objectives of the whole project, we were relatively comfortable in signing up to these. And so within Solihull we've got what we would term soft KPIs, so things like educational attainment, staff attraction and retention, pupil attraction to the schools, healthy schools, and attendance. So things where ICT has an influence, but not necessarily the core influence. The other point to make is that when you get to contract close, there's an awful lot of people suddenly come into the project from both sides. Having a cultural understanding and a good fit meant that those people were very easily able to form relationships and actually deliver and hit the ground running. And the fact that we've gone from contract close to the very first school opening in 4 months is testament to that. Everybody worked very well together, and it's a fantastic achievement, I think. So some of the lessons learned. Do not underestimate the amount of resource it requires from both sides. And again, it doesn't stop at contract close. In fact, it accelerates. So the start-up period in BSF, there's an awful lot going on. So make sure there's resource. Continuous communication, so clearly with all the stakeholders, but it is an ongoing process. They've got their daily lives to get on with. You're involved in this process the whole time. We have to keep communicating and make sure everybody's brought along at the same pace. Schools being engaged is clearly very important, and they have to input and buy into the process. And the change management element is very, well, it's massive. It's a huge change program that has to take part with BSF. And you have to try hard to keep focused on the outcomes and not just the contracts and the legalese. And again, I think the soft KPIs have helped focus the partnership on the things that are really important. And that's been to the benefit of everybody. And then lastly, there has to be this willingness to change and adapt. There are sort of new ways of teaching and learning, all sorts of new initiatives, so whether it's personalised learning or Every Child Matters, 14 to 19, there's a lot going on. ICT has to be an enabler and not a barrier, so we have to be pragmatic. We're going from teaching spaces and schools that we know that look like this to things that are very different. And ICT has to be able to enable the way that people want to teach and learn. And they're learning in different ways. There's all sorts of different techniques and methodologies coming along, different resources, and again, we have to keep pace with that. And then finally, recognition that each school is clearly different and each learner is different, and again, ICT has to be supportive. That's it. Whistle Stop Tour, there are some other resources and other bits we can point to, so I think it's over to you, and we'll take questions and answer any queries you might have.
Interested in two things really, the approach you took to get to contract so quickly, and also your experience of transferring staff, presumably from school-based technical staff into RM.
So in terms of getting to contract quickly, I think, I guess the advice is that there was a huge commitment from both sides of both authority and RM, but also all the advisors and the legal teams. And I think you have to make sure that people's diaries are blocked out and committed to hit a target date. So you have to set clear dates and make sure people are available. And we worked some very long hours, I think, is the truth of the matter. And you have to have this good working relationship to get through contract close quickly. The more that's done up front in terms of clarity, in terms of requirements, and done before preferred bidder stage, then clearly the better, because you've got a much better a chance of getting through quickly. Does that answer your question on that one?
I was interested particularly whether there was any compromise elements, because I noticed on the press release that came from Bristol, it made some reference to the fact that, that there needs to be compromise from all parties, and whether you could expand on that at all, whether that applied in your situation.
I guess partnership means compromise, ultimately, if it's a true partnership. There has to be some give and take, and there has to be some pragmatic approaches in order to push through on contract close. There wasn't an awful lot, to be honest with you, in Solihull. It was clear what was required, and we were happy to sign up to most of the KPIs and the legal requirements. So it did go pretty smoothly, and that helped us, to be honest, to get through so quickly.
John, can I just add? If I could just add from the local authority point of view, what I saw were two things running. One was a massive political will to get the thing finished. So whenever you were interacting with any other officers within the authority, there was cooperation and swift cooperation. And the other sat behind that is the authority needed this to work because they wanted to get the income flow and come from it to make the changes that they were otherwise not going to be able to make. So I think it's political will from the local authority side that will help. And also, as part of the partnership, trust, which underpinned the give and take. So a knowledge that, well, if we don't quite get that bit exactly right, it's not actually going to matter, because in the end, we believe the bigger picture is going to be achieved.
I've forgotten the second part of your question.
Staff transfer.
So we haven't actually got to staff transfer yet. So the service that we're delivering in Solihull at the moment hasn't invoked 2B, for example. It is coming, and it's something that we're starting to work on now in reality. Clearly there was a lot of nervousness, and there's a lot of engagement that has to be done. I think our experiences generally are that it's a positive move for everybody. So the staff that will transfer across hopefully will have a more challenging and exciting role in a BSF school. There's much more for them to actually be involved in than perhaps in a current school environment.